So before we get started, I actually want to ask a question. How many of you are using Office Web Apps in your organization today? A fair bit of you. And how many of you, oh, you too. How many of you are on Office 365? Okay, so a lot of you are doing them, using them on premises, right, it looks like? Okay. And then a quick question and shout out from the crowd would be great. Why are you here? What do you want to get out of the session? I think that's a good thing for us to take. And we want it to be very collaborative, and we want to make sure we're addressing kind of the core needs of the audience. So anybody have any big desire and what they wanted to get out of this session? Yes, great. We'll have a ton of that for you. Anything else? Yes.
Okay.
Great. You in the back?
We're going to be integrating SharePoint 2013, and I've never used this before, but I know that part of it is the UI going on, so I'm going to start looking at that.
Great. And there's one more here. Okay, we have some great folks here to answer some questions. So we don't have a ton of content. We have some good content. I don't think it'll take up the whole time. So there'll be a ton of time at the end for some really specific questions like that as well. If we don't capture your stuff, feel free to ask at the end. There'll be a lot of time for that. So let's get started. So what I want to get done with the session today is really like reviewing what's new in the latest release. So we essentially came out with an update to the Office Web Apps November, July through November, and kind of rolling through the spring, share with you what's new already, and that's still fairly fresh. And then that's specific to Office Web Apps, and then also Office Web App Server. And then also give an insight as to where we're going. Last month we shared our roadmap and made some big investments we're making around collaboration and continued support for additional devices. So we'll give you some more details there and a few sneak peeks at some new features we'll be shipping over the next 12 months. And then what I want you to take away from the session is really that, you know, how Office Web Apps fit into the larger Office story and the larger Office 365 story, and understand kind of the unique value it plays there. And then the couple other things is really this idea of how you use Office Web Apps as, you know, a great collaboration tool for you internally and then externally as well. And then the third thing is really understand like the investments that we're making to the web apps. This has been we've really shifted the way we think about the web apps historically. We've talked about them and developed them as a companion to the desktop experience. We're now really thinking about them as and developing them as a standalone experience. So it'll help you understand where we're going, and it might help you plan for how you plan on using them in the future. All right? So I always start every Office Web Apps session with a little overview of Office. And if you've been to any Office session, you've probably seen this slide. It's really the understanding of, okay, Office, the new Office is a service. And that means to a lot of people, you know, it's a service and it's in the cloud. There's a lot of misunderstanding of what that means for Office Web Apps. People tend to think, oh, you're a service in the cloud, that means Office is now a web app. And I want to make sure, I'm not sure that any of you would have that misperception, but I've heard it from customers, from, you know, consumers all the way up to IT pros that I've met with. There's still a little confusion around what Office Web Apps are. And they're really just the browser-based version of Office that you can use, you know, when you're online. And we continue to have access to Office on the desktop as part of the service and all the goodness that you get around devices, integrating social into the Office experience as well with the latest release, and very cloud connected. Some great new scenarios enabled by moving to the cloud through deployment, through management, and of course access, and being very much more user-centric in the approach to Office versus device-centric. And then the last is some IT pro control tools as well. That's not the focus of our session, but I just want to make sure you understand how we think of Office Web Apps. They're just one more way that your end users have access to the content and to the tools that they care about. So, and a little bit of background, I think Dan can speak to this. I'm actually the product marketing manager. Dan is a program manager for Office Web Apps, and I wanted him to speak to the guiding principles that they think about when they're developing and bringing Office to the web.
Great, thank you, Amanda. So as Amanda was mentioning, the Office Web Apps are browser-based versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote. And it's very important to understand what are the key guiding principles that we think about when we're developing them, when we're adding features to them. The first and most important one is that we want to make sure that somebody that uses the Office Web Apps feels right at home. A lot of our users are very familiar with Office. And when they start using the Office web apps, what they find is that they have a very familiar interface. They certainly feel as part of the same family of products. And any knowledge that you have about how you use Office translates directly to using the Office web apps. And you're going to see a little bit of that in the demos. And certainly, if you're using them today, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The second big guiding principle that we have is that we need to be able to maintain a high fidelity experience both in the rendering of the documents as well as in conserving the file format. So we expect that in many situations your users are working on multiple devices. They're probably using Office and the desktop in some cases. They're using the Office web apps in other cases. And heck, even Office and Windows Phone in some other cases. And making sure that as you go through all of these devices, you're never losing formatting, you're never losing data, and that your documents are rendering the way that you expect them to is always one of our highest core principles that we have here. And last but not least is seamless collaboration. We're building, and you're going to see a little bit of that later today in the demo, we're building great collaboration experiences within the Office web apps, as well as within the entire Office. And so, similarly as to the high fidelity, we care a lot about that people are able to collaborate with anybody else, regardless of what other device or what version of Office they're using. And you're going to see how those experiences range from not only web to web, but web to any of the other Office applications that we have.
Great.
So continue to talk a little bit about the Office web apps. There are three ways that users can get to the Office web apps. The first one is our free service that's targeted to consumers, and that is on skydrive.com. And that's, again, just really targeted to home use, and it's a free service out there. If you haven't checked it out lately, I highly recommend that you do so for personal purposes. The second one is through Office 365. So if you're an Office 365 customer and you're using Exchange Online or SharePoint Online, in your use of those services, you're going to be using the Office web apps to render documents and to edit them as well. And last but not least, on-premises. If you're a company that is still running all of your infrastructure on-prem, we allow you to run the Office web apps as part of your internal deployments. I will go a little bit deeper into the on-prem story. The on-prem story changed quite drastically with the release of the 2013 version. For the first time, the Office web apps run in a standalone server. It's called Office Web App Server. We thought very hard about that one. Let me talk a little bit about it. So first of all, it's a standalone server. It now runs separate from SharePoint, and it runs as a dedicated server. The big thing that this allows us to do is that on-prem, not only SharePoint, because that continues to work, can take advantage of it, but also Exchange and Link. So if you're using Outlook web app, for example, in Exchange and you get an Office attachment and you click on it, that will open up in the Office web apps using the Office web app server. As well as line of business applications, one of the questions that we had is about the possibility to integrate third-party or internal applications with Office web app server to render documents, and that is something that by having a standalone server, it's now enabled. And last but not least is, again, just reiterating that you're able to get the Office web apps within your private cloud, respecting all of your internal security settings and auditing capabilities that you have there.
Great. So we talked about, Dan's talked about what we build and how we build, and I'm going to talk a little about who we're building for and kind of the scenarios that we care about. And as I mentioned earlier, these are going to be changing over time, but I'm kind of talking about the snapshot in time that of today. So really, one of the big areas that we focus on is mobile workers, right? So this is an IW, probably somebody like you or me, that's using Office on the desktop, but they're also they may need access to Office from multiple devices or from multiple places. So they have anywhere access to the Office content that they care about. Office web apps will do that for them. They also have access to tools that for editing as well and for sharing with others. So it's really making sure that you have the really confident means to share with anybody. You don't need to know whether they have Office or not. You can just share a document or a presentation or a workbook with them and know that they can collaborate with you without even having to think about what tools they're using. And then, of course, there's the idea of working on a PC without Office. I don't know what, there's some very edge case scenarios. You're at the hotel and your computer dies, or which happens happened to us today, or you're at a kiosk, or your mom's den at Christmas, and you suddenly need to get online. All of those are edge case scenarios, but really what web apps do is ensure that you have confidence that no matter where you are, you're going to be able to get to the content you care about, especially if it's as long as it's stored on the cloud. So that's kind of one that we care about a lot today. And then moving forward, and then I'll touch back, actually one more point there for the IW. Today, I don't necessarily think that Office web apps are a great standalone solution for them. Over time, we'll be adding more and more Office capabilities there. So there may be some information workers that that will find that the Office web apps will be sufficient for them. Today, I still think there's a need for the desktop, and we'll talk a little bit about our roadmap there moving forward. And then there's the idea of a deskless worker. So these are, when I talk to customers, a lot of them tend to be retail employees or retail office managers, where they want to have Office tools for them, but they don't want to manage deployment for them. They want to buy licensing for them because they don't use Office on an all-day basis. They check in a couple times a day. They work with spreadsheets, working with corporate. It's really providing additional tools to folks that maybe previously didn't have Office, or making it easier to manage Office deployments for folks that have really lightweight needs. I'm seeing a ton of this, like I said, in retail. We're seeing some of it in kind of the hospitality or home health areas, and then even in like retail financial, that kind of thing. So some of the interesting areas that we're seeing a ton of feedback from customers as well. And then, so as I mentioned earlier, before we talk about where we're going, it's interesting to look back on where we're coming from. So as early as, I think it's been well over a decade, we've been building Office tools for the web through Outlook on the web. So I think it was even before 2000 where you had a client that you were able to log into from the browser and get your email. And at that time, was anybody using Outlook on the web that long ago? You might remember it was fairly limited, but it got the job done. You were able to go online. You had confidence that you're going to be able to go do that. If you're using Office Outlook web app today, you know that it's very rich, very sophisticated. In many cases, when I sit down at my desk and I've had the Outlook web app open, I get a little confused because it looks so much like the desktop app. Certainly, there's still stuff that you can do in the desktop application that you can't do in the web, but for the majority of the time and for the majority of scenarios, the web app actually does fine. I think that's a great indicator and kind of directional insight for you to understand how we're moving forward with the Office web apps. Certainly, we did launch them in 2010, so they're only 3 years old. They're fairly young applications. So we just first launched Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote for the web in 2010. We launched with co-authoring, for example, on a couple of the apps. And then in the latest release, we deepened the experience there, adding additional collaboration experiences, so real-time co-authoring on PowerPoint and Word. We actually added additional authoring tools, which we're constantly doing to bring more Office power to the web. And then we added some more device support and touch optimize the tools as well. So as we move forward, you can expect to see us bringing more and more of the power to Office and look back to Outlook web app as sort of a model or a template that you can anticipate for us to deliver on. And then moving forward, as I mentioned earlier, we've historically talked about Office web apps as a companion, just because we knew that the tools necessarily weren't there for an IW or a person who's using Office all day long to get the work done that they need to get done. Moving forward, our intention is to build more and more Office into the cloud applications, into the web applications, so that people can get their work done in Office. So we're going to do that by investing in four big areas. Of course, online productivity, which I think of things like just the authoring tools, and then performance and things like that, and just the general user experience, making it easier to be working in the web. And then also focusing on social and collaboration. Of course, folks are asking about co-authoring. We're going to be investing in real-time co-auth, and we're going to show that to you today, the work that's underway. And then also just continuing to bring, making sure that Office is available across devices. But, especially for devices that do not have Office installed, Office web apps tend to be the tool that you can use to make sure you've got that confident access to your content. And then the fourth area, is really about really bringing Office web apps into the larger Office ecosystem. So making sure that we build apps for Office support into the web app so that developers have one platform to build on and they can have it doesn't really matter what the end user is using, they'll have those capabilities as well. So that's a really big shift in the way that we're thinking about Office web apps, is really moving from a companion to a standalone. And it's kind of an interesting and fun time for us to be talking about that. But before we talk about the future, I'm going to do a quick demo of what's available in market today. So I'm going to click here. Yeah.
So as Amanda mentioned, what you're going to see right now is available to you right now on Office 365 and on-prem as well as part of Office Web App Server. And this is what we released late October, early November.
Yep. So I just was in my SkyDrive Pro folder, and I had clicked on a Word document, and it opens in the Word Web App Viewer. So as you can see here, this is a fairly sophisticated document, and we're rendering it in a very high fidelity way. So the graphics are very, it looks exactly like it looks on the desktop, and it's high performant. I can scroll through it rather quickly. Also from this view, I can take a look at what comments are in there. We added that in the latest release. So folks added comments here. I can actually reply to those comments. And we've also done some interesting things around management of comments here, and very similar to what you're going to see on the desktop. So I can also, mark this as done. So maybe, you can kind of manage the task that you're creating with comments. I can mark that task as done, just making sure that we know that we captured that feedback. Or I can also just delete that comment as well.
And just as a great reminder, remember that even though the other person may not have the latest version of Office, because all these documents can be rendered through the Office web apps, anybody that you're collaborating with or reviewing a document with will have access to all these capabilities. All they need is a browser.
Right. So now I'm launching the Word Web App Editor. And so we have two modes, essentially. We have a viewer, which really ensures the high fidelity nature. You know exactly what the document's going to look like. And then we have the editor that makes sure you can go in and make the comments that you want to make. So as I scroll through, you can kind of see what that looks like. I think that, I also want to just call out the familiarity. We talked about that as a key thing here. We continue to have the notion of a ribbon, and it looks very much like it does on the desktop. I can go, scroll through those tabs. It looks a lot like, it doesn't have the same set of features, but it does have the same notion of the ribbon, so the navigation is very familiar to you. I can actually go in and, for example, insert a image if I'd like to do that. I'm going to do that now. So I can choose from picture. If I just want to look at my desktop, I can pull photos from there. We've also added support to pull from clip art. So it's looking into Bing search. I can select it, insert. And then the UI and the ribbon here is very context sensitive. So it sees that I've selected an image here. I can go format that using picture tools. I can shrink it down if I like to. I can actually add kind of a style, a picture style, if I'd like to do that as well. So you can see that it's easy to add a little polish to your documents even when you're working in the web. Let's see. The other couple things I wanted to show, and they may seem like small features actually, but they're kind of some of the top features. Down here in the corner you can see word count. Obviously that's an important thing for students. They really care about how many words are in there. When we announced it, everybody was saying, oh, why are you announcing this tiny little feature? But it's one of the number one things we're getting comments from customers on.
Yeah, before we released that, it was one thing you guys should know is that we take a lot of your input to actually help us prioritize features. And WordCount is a great example where, even though it's a small feature, it was the number one thing that we heard talking to customers that they wanted, as well as the number one piece of feedback that got submitted through the Office web apps. And so we went ahead and just added that.
Yep. So that's a quick overview of what's new in Word. There's tons more. Like Dan said, if you go look at if you're not using 365 yet, you can actually go look at the same experience in the free SkyDrive apps. They're there, and they're basically the same. There's some minor variations just based on the host, but you can get a good sense of that. Next, I'm going to move on to the Excel web app. So a couple things I'm going to call out here. One is the tools that you have available to you to do, spreadsheeting within the doc. But I also wanted to call out the ability to, access content that people created in the rich apps. So here I've got a fairly sophisticated Excel spreadsheet. I can select this content and it pulls up a pivot table. So if the pivot table was created in Excel on the desktop, I can actually access that content and interact with it here. I can select new fields. Those are really interesting ways, and I can't create a pivot table in the web app today, but it also it really does allow you to have the deep data analysis. Even if you don't have Office, if you share an interesting spreadsheet with somebody they don't have Excel, they can go in and interact with that content as well. Also, this is another interesting view that we have that's created in the Excel desktop app. It's a timeline slicer. So it's a feature of Excel on the desktop. I can't create this in the web app, but it actually gives me a timeline view of the data, and as I update that here, I can see how that data changes over time. I can look at discrete years as well. So another great way that I have access to really powerful data analysis right from the Excel web app.
And what we've seen is that a lot of people that are the data geeks in the companies actually spend a lot of time in Excel creating these beautiful dashboards. And in the past, it used to be that these dashboards were locked in these spreadsheets that only the people who were experts would touch them. What we're seeing now is that with the web app, somebody can save that document, send out the link, and people are way more comfortable just clicking on that link, changing the slider, and really interacting with that data.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go in and edit this workbook. That was actually just the view mode. So even if you don't have editing capabilities or licensing, you can actually interact with that in the view mode as well. So here we've got a fairly, a nice chart that I can, see kind of how my marketing spend is looking over time. So one thing, visualizing your data is a really important thing to do. You want to make sure that the visuals you use really represent your data well. In the Excel web app, I can actually change how that data is represented. Going up to chart tools, I can choose a different kind of chart tools. I'm going to select just an area map here. And then, so now I can actually kind of see relative where the peaks and valleys are a little more easily. I can also go in and change the data.
Get rid of the context menu. There you go.
And the data will change in the chart as well. If I want to bump this up to maybe 16,000, I can do that, and you can easily see how quickly it changes. It's a really nice thing to think about, as you don't have to be working in Excel. Even from your mom's den, you could be making the changes to this data as well. So that's a quick view of the Excel web app. I'm going to move on to the PowerPoint web app. So again, we open up in the view mode. It's a very high fidelity view of the document. You can see those transitions there. I can see how the animations happen here in a very, it's exactly what it looks like when I look at it on the desktop. But I'm going to go in and edit that. So here we have, again, it looks very familiar to you. It looks a lot like what you're going to see in the PowerPoint applications on the desktop. It has the modern ribbon here as well. So I can, navigate the slides just as I've been used to doing. I'm going to go ahead and show comments. As we talked about earlier, commenting is kind of an important and interesting thing that we want to do as part of our collaboration story. Co-authoring, of course, is great. Comments continue to be an important way that we work together. I can just... and just save that there, and people that I'm working with can access that. Also, just as I mentioned earlier, the idea of working in the web, you want to make sure it feels fluid and natural. We've done some work just drag and drop capabilities so that I can move that content really easily. It looks very, it's a very fluid way of moving. It moves very quickly. And very much like you're going to have the experience on the desktop.
IE 8 for and above for IE, Chrome, Firefox, And iOS 5, is it? Like whatever the latest version of iOS is. 6, right. And Safari in the Mac. Thank you.
And as I mentioned, I also have the ability to add from a selection of subtle animations and transitions. I can do that here. I can change to none. I can add to push if I want to. I can add some interesting effect options here as well. I can apply to this slide or apply to all. So again, not every single tool is available that you have on the desktop, but enough that you're going to be able to add some nice polish to your content from the web. And you can also just go back to the PowerPoint viewer and view how that's going to look for you as well. So those are just the highlights of some of the new stuff, and I think you kind of see just as we navigate through, because this is the progress we've made since we initially launched in 2010. The other thing that we've updated with this release is the ability to share with others. So we wanted to make it really easy when you're working with others to share. So some of the work we did is, you know, some of the benefit we get isn't necessarily from the work we've done right in the web app. It's some of the work that maybe SharePoint has done or that we've done via licensing. So I can share this file with other people. I just have to enter the names here if I'd like to do that. So I'm going to actually share with somebody outside my organization. This is an Outlook.com account. I can, you know, allow her to view or edit this document. I can make that decision here. I can require sign-in, or I can share it as a guest link. So those are a couple of interesting new ways you can do that. So if you send the link to Katie Jordan, who's outside of your organization, and you actually have to set that toggle,
that option. Yep.
That option within your organization.
As an administrator, you get to decide whether or not your users can do this.
For example, at Microsoft, we can't do that. But it is a nice thing if you're working with vendors or with partners a lot and you don't know if they're using Office, you can actually share directly with them outside of your organization, and you can work with them using web apps. And then historically, those partner sharing, working with partners, required that those partners had an Office license. We've updated our licensing so that when you're external sharing, they don't require an Office license. It's a free to work with them. So that's a nice way to enable more external collaboration. Question in the back? Yep. So if you don't require sign-in, that just becomes a link that anybody can click on and go access. So you just want to make sure that, and you can actually toggle that based, you can have external, you can manage that as an admin as well. Yep. Another question here? I think you can, can't you? If it's just a DL or an alias?
You can. If it's set up as a security group, you can. And that will show up there.
Yeah. Yes? Access? I'm not as familiar with their roadmap. I know that they have apps for access that are web-based, but from the actual UI for access, there isn't one available today, and I don't know. I don't have any roadmap details to share. Yes?
So we currently have SharePoint 10.
So SharePoint 2010 integrates with the Office Web Apps 2010. That's a release of the web apps that we launched 3 years ago. That gets installed directly on top of SharePoint. It does give you the ability to click on a document and view it, as well as edit it. Obviously, you don't have all the capabilities that we're showing today, but that some level of capabilities does exist with the Office Web Apps 2010.
So, go ahead.
Correct. You need SharePoint 2013 to integrate with that. Yep, that is correct.
Yes?
So how will your features parallel to the versions of Office? So say, if you're in 2010, you know, when 2010 came out, you kind of might then wait a little bit and then the features come out. Is that parallel 2010 as far as Office goes? Or then when 2013 happens, do you...
So you're saying what's our feature parity with each individual release? Yeah. Maybe Dan can speak to it better. I think generally as new features get added, we'd like to add new features as we're able, but our priority is making sure we're delivering on the core functionality first. And if it's a core feature, like I think if you think about Quick Explore, Pivot Tables, we think about ways, these are really core scenarios that we want to make sure we enable, we add them. But if it's something that's maybe not as core as we, or the adoption isn't as high, then we might not need to add it quite yet.
But well, if it's a core feature, let's say in 2013 that sort of changes, do you kind of parallel that as well? Or?
Yes. So let me give you two examples. On the one hand, the Office Web Apps were adding, as Amanda was saying, core features that will really allow us to have a complete standalone experience in the browser. That sometimes actually means adding features to the web apps that were released in Office like 97. Now, there are other cases where the timeline slicer that Amanda actually showed, that's a feature that we added as part of Excel 2013. But to be able to create tell a really great story and for our users to have a really great experience with that, it wasn't sufficient to just add it into Excel 2013. We needed that in the Excel web app as well so that everybody could utilize that. And so we add features in both camps like that.
Yeah. But I think the takeaway is it's not always, but we try. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yep. Nope. They should be. I think the rollout's done, right?
Everybody should be having should have these features right now. You don't have to wait for the upgrade. Even prior to the upgrade, you should be using this version of the Office web apps, even though SharePoint looks different. We do not. Do you want to move along,
yep.
And then we'll take more questions at the end?
Yeah, so just quickly, I don't have this set up on the visuals, but this is the document that I shared right from here. I shared it externally, and the person I shared with, for example, is using an iPad. They can actually access that slide directly from here, from the iPad, in a very similar way that you have from the desktop experience.
Yeah.
And if you want, we'll have time. We can come show you what that looks like up here as well. So you get the same editing capabilities you do from a browser on the desktop, on the iPad, and also on Windows 8 tablets as well. That was new in the latest release. And it really extends the ability to access and edit your content from more and more devices.
Right. And let me just emphasize that point a little bit. We did a lot of work to make sure that the same experience, all the features that you saw, Amanda demo, all work identically on the iPad. With the exception that we've made enhancements such that if you're using touch, the controls are farther apart, for example, mm-hmm. so you can actually touch them. And you have right-click with touch and tap and gestures to advance slides. But all the features that Amanda showed, all of them work just like that on the iPad and Windows 8 slates.
Right, and the co-authoring experiences as well.
Yep.
It's just we don't think about them separately as devices. We think about the web. So that's the quick overview of the demo. There's tons of great stuff in the web apps, but that's what's available today. And now, we're just going to go back to the slides, and then, I think. Now, this is more about, this is actually just the kind of high-level view. I don't really need to spend a ton of time here because I've shown you this, but this is actually what we invested in just generally. So again, authoring tools, we continue to bring those and make those available with each update and release. And we're actually making updates fairly frequently, and I think you're gonna see us making, seeing more and more coming more rapidly to the web apps as time marches on. Working with others, again, it continues to be a really important piece of the pie when we think about what we're gonna bring to the table. And working across devices. The web apps are really a great way to provide reach to more and more users and more places on more devices, and we'll continue to do that as well. So I'm just going to skip through. These are all the features that we have on each of the apps that we've added. These slides will be available if you want to. You'll be able to take a look at those as well on your own. I don't need to read them for you. All right, so I think we actually also talked about this, the new external sharing scenarios, this idea that when you're working with others, they may not be in your organization. There's a few different ways you can manage that. The first is really this ad hoc sharing. You can share a single document with others. You don't really have to have any authentication. You have to manage that, as somebody mentioned earlier. That's just a link that anybody could access. You also have the ability to team with others, even externally. So I work with vendors fairly frequently. For example, they want me to send some screenshots to them or share some screenshots or share my document, but I don't want to go use Dropbox or something like that. I can actually use the storage on my own SkyDrive Pro account and share that content with them by giving them access. So I share the folder with them, and then they are able to authenticate and get into that folder and act as if they're an internal user in that in my organization. And then we have some interesting publishing to wall scenarios that we've enabled over the last few years. So you can embed content into a website or a blog using the Office Web App. So if you've got a presentation and you've got you want to share it broadly via a blog, you can do that very simply just via the sharing tools within the product. So that's what's new and that's what's available today. And I already did the demo. But Dan's actually now going to talk about what's coming. So we, as I mentioned earlier, we've already shared our roadmap. We've been fairly transparent, more transparent than we've historically been. And today is actually the first chance for we're going to show the work that's underway. This is not live code. This is just on a box sitting here. And so it's a sneak peek, and so we're excited to share it with you today.
Do you want to click
you to set up the slides? A couple of slides? Oh, right here. Why don't you do that?
So as Amanda is mentioning, we're going through a pretty big transition to take the Office Web Apps from being companions to actually enable you to do end-to-end productivity directly on the browser and using the Office Web Apps. The way we think about it is we want to give you your office on the web. A lot of the features that we're now prioritizing and actively working on are to help us make this a reality, and I'll start showing you some of those things. There's, as Amanda mentioned, and I'll just rehash this a little bit, there are four big areas that we're investing to make this a reality. First of all, online productivity. And these are the things that you typically think about when you want to do a Word document, start from to finish. So the typing, collaborating, formatting, and polishing. In the Excel web app, for example, this means doing more advanced data visualization. It means greater features to help speed up data entry. And in PowerPoint, it means a lot of image manipulation, a lot of changing themes, and making your presentation looks
I'd
fantastic.
I'd also add on that, in addition to just features, it's about speed and performance. You want to make sure that you're working in an environment that feels quick and responsive, and if otherwise you're going to move to another tool that's faster. I would also say that things like just file management and that kind of stuff, we'll have to make sure that we do the work there to make it feel very intuitive and natural, and you don't require any kind of local storage.
Yep, that's exactly right. From a collaboration perspective, real-time co-authoring is going to be one of our big investments that we'll deliver that to you over the next few months. Integration into additional collaboration places or where collaboration happens. In this case, we're investing in social along with Yammer to have that social experience within the Office web apps. And we're continuing to expand our supported devices. Android tablets is the next device that we're going to be supporting, and we expect, again, to be delivering that over the next few months. And this way, we're going to have coverage on iPad, Windows 8 tablets, as well as Android tablets. And last but not least, is just keep increasing the Office ecosystem and keep increasing the places where you can use the Office web apps along with the rest of Office. So with that,
and one more thing.
One more thing. Thank you. Collaboration is probably the most important area where we're investing heavily with the Office web apps. As we discussed, the Office web apps give us a great platform to deliver fantastic collaboration scenarios. And the reason for that is that anybody that you're collaborating with, as long as they have a browser, they can fully participate with everybody else. Up until now, the fact that some person had a version of Office that was different from the other person, that was different from the other person's, actually limited quite a bit how well those people could collaborate. The Office web apps, again, being browser-based, give us the ability to have the same experience across all the people that are working that you're working with. And we're going to be taking advantage of this, of the Office web apps as a platform to build upon all those collaboration experiences. Real-time co-authoring, to have a fantastic experience of having two people actively working on a document. Things like commenting, so that anybody who's reviewing a document can actually enter comments and reply to them and participate in them. Things like track changes and being able to know who's changing what. Are all things that we're going to be taking quite heavy advantage of on the web apps to be able to deliver a great story across the board. And, you know, across devices and across browsers and et cetera. Okay. So with that, we're going to do the first sneak preview of the next Office web apps. This is literally coming off one of my developers' machines. So it's fresh off the coding place where coding happens. It's definitely not ready for prime time. So as exciting as this is, I hope that you'll forgive a few of the glitches that invariably we're going to run into. But again, we're just very excited and very eager to start showing some of the things we're actively working on to you guys, and that we expect, again, everything that you're seeing here, it's not live yet, but we expect to be delivering over the next few months to Office 365 and to SkyDrive, and eventually to Office Web App Server.
And I'll also add, we've got another colleague down here who's going to be helping us with this, Nick Simons. He'll be doing the co-authoring.
Okay. So let me start with the Word Web App. So this is the same Word Web App that Amanda showed. I'm going to go here directly into editing the Word Web App. And you're going to see a couple of the new things that we're adding. So let me make sure that my...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Find and replace are things that we don't currently have in the Word Web App and that are coming soon. Again, it seems like trivial features, but yet the one time you actually want to use it right before you have to, you know, meet a deadline and you cannot find the darn word you need to change, it becomes a very important feature to have, and that's something that we're adding. Being able to insert a header and footer, being able to insert footnotes and endnotes are, again, just part of having a complete end-to-end experience within the web apps. And last but not least, being able to use comments and commenting as you're editing your document also becomes very important. Let me now go and actually show a little bit of our co-authoring capabilities. As you can see here, we have Nick and Joe have both joined the Office web apps. I think you can at least see it on one side.
And this is you over here, Nick, is that right? And this is Dan over here.
Oh, right. So if you can stretch your neck to see both, that would be fantastic. Thank you, guys. As I move around this document and you're looking at Nick's screen, the red cursor that you're seeing is actually me as I'm moving through the document. And as Nick is moving his cursor, you can actually see where Nick is being. And this is all, again, happening in real time. I can then go in here. In here I type. I'm definitely not able to say one thing and type a different thing, so I'm just typing the same thing. And as I'm doing that, you're seeing in real time what's going on over here in Nick's screen. As Nick is typing, you can see on the screen that, again, we're working together on this document. We're seeing in real time what the other person's seeing, and especially where you're either working together in the same room and both of you are working on your laptops. This is fantastic because you can immediately see what's happening. Or if you're working on the phone, or over Link or Skype or whatever other real-time communication channel you want, this is really phenomenal and really facilitates a lot of these scenarios. Let me show one more feature that that is one of my personal favorite features, which is insert tables. So being able to insert table, sure, whatever, not super interesting. However, being able to actually then go in and change the formatting of that table to a formatting that not only looks great, but it actually goes along with the theme of your entire document is quite powerful. And this is, I gotta admit, I use this feature quite a bit to go from a normal looking document to something that makes me feel like I'm doing a very polished document. And it's literally two clicks away, and now I have a great table. And I can, in case you missed it, all of that actually is also showing up on Nick's screen at the same time. I can type a header. I can do any of these things. And that formatting also works. Nick can, for example, then go in, format the he's setting. Nick is actually using a touch device, and he's using touch, as you can see. As soon as Nick figures out how to use the mini toolbar, that's a very cool enhancement. Because when you're using touch, you don't actually have to go back all the way to the ribbon. You can set that as a heading, and you can see that the heading shows up here immediately. So again, without me having to hit save, without me having to tell you I'm in the fourth paragraph, to mess with it, or hey, as Nick is reviewing what I'm seeing, he can be immediately correcting what I'm typing. All of these actually just becomes a very fluid experience from a not only authoring perspective, but also from a co-authoring capabilities. Let me now jump over to Excel. As soon as my tab finishes opening here, here we go. I just have shortcuts because there's no way I can type this. These URLs all at once. So in the Excel web app, I'm going to, again, show a similar set of capabilities. I'm going to first show you guys some of the new enhancements that we're making from an authoring perspective, and then we're going to show some of the co-authoring capabilities that we're adding here. So I have a very long table here. Actually, probably too long for this demo, but that's OK. We'll keep scrolling all the way to the end. And this is an example of what people do with data entry quite a bit. So you can imagine that this is a list of whatever it is that you want. I'm going to add a new row here. One of the, again, trivial features that you miss a lot once you don't actually have it is the ability to autocomplete. I used to type SMAR, and it immediately went in, looked at all similar text that I have in this particular column, and gave me these set options. I can actually go in this case I'm adding a new TV apparently, but it's going to be a 16-inch version of this TV, so I can just go select that, change that to 60, and it goes from me having to type that entire thing to actually automatically completing the sections that I'm going in. The other feature is something that is very geekily called data validation, but it is actually one of the really cool features when you're doing data entries. The author of this spreadsheet has said that there's a specific set of values that can actually go into this particular column, and it specified what these are. So I can now go into the web app and click on one of these, and again, boom, it's selected, and it ensures that only a certain type of values can actually be put here. It can be a list of options, or it can be things like this number cannot be greater than 100 and no smaller than 50.
And this is one of the features, and when I'm talking to customers, that I almost hear every time I talk to them. So it's nice to be able to go back and say, hey, we've got the thing that you've all been looking for.
Yep. Another very simple thing that I just want to demonstrate, this is the same timeline slicer that Amanda showed. If I scroll down, you'll notice that the slicer stays on the top. This is demonstrating free sprints. Again, it's something new that we don't currently have that is coming online pretty soon. And last but not least, this is the same chart that Amanda was demonstrating with. For those Kenai folk, we'll notice that Nick is now in this presentation as well. So here's Nick. I'm Joe, apparently. As Nick is moving around, okay, why don't we refresh that and give that one more try. Again, this is proof that this is not vaporware. It's real stuff that doesn't work sometimes. Only when you're in front of 100 great people and you don't want it to fail. But so as I'm moving around, I'm the red cursor over here, Nick. Nick's showing up as purple over here. You can go as far as actually, hey, Nick, you know, I want you to take a look at the age column. As I'm selecting, my selection shows up. So you can actually see what I'm referring to as Nick selects stuff. You can actually also see that showing up over here. And things like, you know, updating values show up. And updating the values not only updates the actual value itself on the other person, but it also updates his chart over there. So if Nick scroll up or if you were paying attention, you'll see that the charts are actually being modified in real time by the two of us. And even things like changing the chart style, the chart colors, or anything else that you may want, it's all happening again in real time and something that you can do. I think that was it. And last but not least, sure. So Nick is going to change chart style. The key point here is that when you're co-authoring, you can use the entire set of capabilities that we have. It's not, you're not restricted to a subset. You're not restricted to anything. Anything that you can document is being mirrored and auto-saved all the time. So we are handling inserting rows and columns. Depends on what you mean by better. Oh, yes. So right now in the Excel web app, if you have two people working on the same table, they can actually conflict each other depending on the order you're doing things. With the new improvements that we're making, all of that is going away. So all of those things will just completely go away. You can have multiple people adding rows to a table, and it will do the right thing. Let me show now PowerPoint. In PowerPoint, in this particular build, we are not showing presence yet. When we deliver this to you guys, we expect for you to be able to see where the other person is at any point in time, just like Excel and PowerPoint. In this case, I'm going to go into the last slide. I'm going to add a title, and that should start showing up very quickly over there. And they can actually start adding a subtitle over here, and you're going to start seeing that title showing up over here.
And actually, I'll add that PowerPoint already has somewhat of a real-time co-authoring experience live today. You don't see presence, but you are able to see the changes that others make without having to commit the save. So we've already made some progress here. This is kind of the next step that you'll see over the next several months.
Yep. One of the other, again, small things that we have been adding is now the ability to not only format a picture, like Amanda showed in Word, but now you can actually do more advanced image manipulation. In this case, for example, cropping. If I wanted to have that be a bit smaller, that you can crop it, you can modify it, and again, just trying to make it look as good as you want. Now, one of the points that I haven't emphasized enough is that, again, all of this is web-to-web, two people working in the Word web app. That works fantastic, and the demo gods helped me out, and it seemed most stuff actually worked. Now, we're going to show what happens when one of the persons either opens the same presentation up in PowerPoint, either because he wants to use a feature that's only available in PowerPoint 2013, or maybe this person's about to get on a plane and doesn't want to pay the $10 for GoGo wireless service on top of the plane. And so he's going to be modifying this presentation offline. I think Nick's going to be changing a theme and perhaps adding a slide. And again, this goes back to the promise of in the web apps, you can be modifying all these presentations, all your documents or your spreadsheets. If you use desktop applications, we don't lose any of the formatting. We keep the high fidelity. You don't lose any data. And any person participating in a team or group of people can choose to use whatever they want. And so in this case, Nick has changed the slides to blue and added one slide. Let's assume he's back from his trip on the plane. He's going to hit save. Going to hit save. Oh, you hit save. Great. And then we're going to ask Nick again, are you sure you hit save? Why don't you hit save again? Just, you know, to be sure. Well, anyway, I'm going to blame this completely on Nick and not on the demo itself. Wait, do you want to try modifying and hit the same one more time? I want to actually see the SharePoint saving. Okay. So you actually believe Nick.
Okay. And he's back online.
Okay. Well, too bad. Well, normally what you would have seen, see, I said that everything had worked out just perfectly too soon.
Refresh over here?
Sure. So normally what you would have seen is that as soon as Nick came back from being offline and hit save, there we go. The slides would have updated over here in the web app. The theme got changed. You can actually see the new slide that Nick added. And again, it's usability to have multiple people working on different Office endpoints and still having a great experience across the board without any caveats, without any compromises. The one last thing that I do want to mention is that one of our premises when we're doing all of these features is to make sure that your end users can actually co-author and collaborate with each other with confidence. And so we've put a lot of work to make sure that nobody unintentionally overwrites or deletes content that another person has done. Because we found that that is the number one fear that people have of working together in a document is the, oh my God, what if that other person deletes or changes my content? Well, actually, more importantly, normally the people who are reviewing the document that are afraid to do something different than what the owner intended to, that are the most apprehensive to modify the other document. And so keeping in mind that we're doing collaboration and co-authoring with confidence and that we're making sure that we're not losing any data unintentionally, it is one of the biggest premises that or promises that we're going to be delivering with these updates.
So that's the demo, I believe, yes?
Yep.
So I think that's essentially the end of the show for us. There's some resources that the tech ed wanted to make sure that you guys knew about. There's some Channel 9 stuff here, all where you want to go to learn more. You probably see this at the end of every session. And then please evaluate us and let us know what we could do better and what you want to hear so that when we present this next month or later this month at the next tech ed that we are delivering on the right answers. So let's open this up to questions, I think, and Nick come on up as well. Oh, and then one more thing. We've got a great graphical poster, and I think it's Office Web App Server configuration, right? It's up here if you want to take it home and put it up in your office. It's a great tool. If you're thinking of Office Web Apps, that's a great resource for you as well. So come grab it up here on the chair.
Over here.
Were there any other enhancements for OneNote?
Yeah, there were some OneNote enhancements with this current release. I think the search is improved. We have ink rendering now, so you can actually render ink notes within OneNote. I think there are probably a few other things. I can't remember what they are at the top of my head.
Improved navigation.
Yeah.
We're improving navigation. We're improving tables in the same way as we're doing the Word Web App as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Over here in the black.
This may be a more Office 365 question instead of a web app to Office 365.
Great question. Let me start with the bringing it to the Office web apps. Yes, that is something we intend to do. We haven't announced that as part of our roadmap or what or a timeline for that yet, but you should expect that over time we'll bring those same customization capabilities across the Office endpoints because that's a great part of the story. On the second one, yes, you can do that using Office 365 Pro Plus.
Okay. The demo that you just showed a sneak
peek. Yep. Thank you.
Great. Really appreciate the feedback.
My customers are going to be very happy.
Great. We're glad.
When can we expect that? Because right now they have to save the update from the other person.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A real life thing. When can I download it?
So the props first was that, hey, this is great. And the question was, hey, when should we expect to see this? At this point, we're saying it's the next coming months. I'm really talking about months and not much more than that.
We also posted a blog recently. If that's useful for your customers to talk about our roadmap, it's on the Office 365 blog. Just go to Office Web Apps. If that's useful for you, just to help kind of, yes, this is coming. We've been very open about it. So we did transparently talk about over the next 12 months, we'll be making these very specific updates. It's not at the end of the 12-month scenario. It's like multiple things will be coming out over that time.
Yep. Thank
yes.
you.
How do you handle conflicts
with great question. When you're coming from offline in Word or PowerPoint, for example, and somebody has modified the content that you deleted, you actually get a dialogue that says, hey, another user made this change. You made this change. These are conflicting. Which one would you like to keep? Okay. When you're both online, or you're both in the real time experience, you cannot conflict because you're seeing the changes at the same time as the other person. But yeah, if you're coming from offline, the person coming back from offline gets a dialogue that says, what was your intention? Yep. Thank
you. It sounds like we did. Are there more downstairs?
There's more in the expo hall, yeah.
In the office booth, yeah.
What's that?
That's all I really need.
Okay, great, thanks.
So assuming you said OWA, you mean Office Web Apps. So the question is, do we have Office Web Apps on-premise? We do in the form of the Office Web Apps server product. And so you can deploy it on-premise. And there's actually a fairly rich story around integration with the Office Web Apps that you can, if you come to ask the experts tonight, we can talk about it. Also, we're going to be in the booth, but I can't remember when.
I think right after this.
They were cruel like that. So we'll be downstairs in the booth apparently right after this, instead of having lunch. Well, I don't know what time it is. So basically, that was the one question. The other question is how frequently we update, and the answer is right now we're on the same update cadence as Office. So we just did a big update which included some new stuff like PDF support. In the last service pack, we will continue to provide updates in coming service packs. However, we're not entirely clear on precisely when we'll be able to deliver all the features that we are delivering in the service in the on-prem product, so there will be some lag there as we sort out some of the details.
But generally, I think we can safely say it, we will usually come to the service first, and then there's some delay in which it comes to the on-premises.
But like also when you run the update,
right.
Yes. So we actually did find some bugs in our update process that made it a little more painful than it needed to be. We recently released a KB to fix some of those. So it actually should be better than it was. But yes, ultimately, the upgrade process for Office Web Apps on-premise does involve going through some steps, including taking down your farm. But you can take down your farm one half at a time. You don't have to have any downtime as long as you have more than one server. And you can run it in VMs, so you can have one box with multiple VMs, which is recommended. So we do have a fairly scalable upgrade process, but there were some issues that we found that we did fix, and that's already available in a KB.
It is granular.
I believe at this point.
I think it depends on enterprise or small, but it depends on the SKU. It's more granular at the enterprise level than it is the small business SKU. So I can't remember what the granularity is.
It's at the site level in enterprise.
Yes. Yeah.
And small and medium businesses is at the farm level. It's at the tenant level.
So Exchange 2010 does not have support for the Office Web Apps to View attachments, with the exception of the online product. Actually, we did provide that functionality, like the service, but not the on-prem. And what you get with Exchange is, if as long as you're on Exchange, is it 2013? I think it is.
Yeah.
You will be able to view attachments using the Office Web Apps, and that includes PDFs, Word, PowerPoint, and Excel. The other question was
file shares.
So we actually have a number of interesting stories around file shares. One is that we actually have a feature which we call, what is it we actually decided to call
it? Office Web Viewer.
Office Web Viewer? Mm-hmm. Right. We have this feature called Office Web Viewer that we used to call Open from URL. You might have heard of it when it was called that, which allows you to open any document that's on a file share or in a publicly accessible web URL. Just in our web apps, we'll happily view that for you. You can't edit them, but you can use it for viewing. Also, there are options for building integration solutions using our public API that would allow you to build against other file shares, like say Documentum.
Can you speak to the changes you made
There have been. The print story relies quite heavily on going to PDF. So if you actually print, click print from the Word web app or PowerPoint, you will actually get a PDF file. And from there, you can actually just use print using whatever version of either Adobe PDF, of Reader, or you're in iOS, of the PDF viewer in iOS, et cetera. And so as long as you're hitting print from within the web app, that's the experience that you will get, which is here's your PDF, click here to download, and you can print that.
And Excel is a little bit different. They don't require the PDF, but.
And that's an area where we're always looking to improve also.
Yeah.
Yes.
My feature. So they only surface in the Word document right now. We are working closely with our partners in Yammer to actually see if we can't do something more interesting with that content. But right now, those comments are, call them traditional comments, where they're actually stored in the document, which is nice because it means you can take them offline. They stay with the document. If you move it, the comments move with it. But we are working with our partners to eventually expose those in a more socially aware way, and considering features like at mentions and things like that as well in that framework.
So you can see all the documents in a SharePoint document library and all those comments surfacing up.
Yes,
so
we're
working on a set of proposals. All right.
Absolutely, and that's a scenario that we're extremely aware of and thinking about. It's a little farther along in our roadmap.
And it goes both ways, right? You want to be able to see those documents outside the document, but you also may want to add comments without having to open the document itself, because that's the environment. Yeah, and those are all things that, as we talk about collaboration in the areas that we're focusing on around collaboration, that's squarely in our radar to have a great solution there.
So thank you for asking that question. Yes.
Well, so let me talk about it two ways. One of them is that you can view, I'll say, the old file formats, which are .doc, .ppt, and .xls, which are the binary file formats, in the web apps. You can load them, view them, great. The moment you actually want to edit them, we'll ask you if you want to create a copy of the document in the new file format. So we cannot edit them, but you can view them.
We do support strict, both. You don't have to convert
right.
those.
Now, any of the new file formats, strict, even docams, but also the open document file formats, so ODF, all of those are actually supported from both a viewing and an editing perspective in the web apps without having to do any conversion. No. So right now, if the document's in the cloud, so let it be SharePoint, let it be Exchange, let it be, the default click will always open the web app. If you have a document on your computer, the first step is, unfortunately, upload it to whatever cloud location you want and then click on it, and that will open up in the web app. But we do not have the capability to open local documents at this point. That's a very interesting question. We're continually trying to assess the desire for features like offline, for features like opening files from the desktop, especially in the context of our desktop apps. And the reason for that is that the offline experiences and dealing with local files are just so way better in Office, in desktop applications, than they will ever be when the browser is actually brokering that. The latest advances on the standards and browsers are making that a little bit better, but the experience is actually still pretty clunky. And so we're keeping an eye on that and see where the browsers go from giving you the access that we need to have a fantastic experience there, but that access is just not there yet.
And I think if we're going to be completely forthright about where we are, we have a lot of code running in servers, like on servers in the cloud, and that makes that scenario very challenging, and a lot of that code is the code that you get with the desktop clients.
Right. A great example of that is Excel. One of the ways we make sure that every calculation that you make in the web app or in desktop Excel are always 100% right, because that's very important, is by running exactly the same code in the server as you do on the desktop Excel to make sure that those are always 100% right. And that's part of the way we deliver on the promise of high fidelity and making sure that you have the same data across the board. No, can you actually, what are you trying to do? Because I think we have a couple of answers.
Yeah, there may be.
One of the things I do is I generate Excel sheets. People do their extension for
it. Yep, yep.
And doing it from the web, launching it yourself, so you guys, are you involved in that? Is this going to be tied into that as a way to generate efficiently documents and spreadsheets and PowerPoints from the web?
I think what we would like is probably to get more details about your scenario so we could pass them along to the people who work directly on the Excel web app, because
right.
we aren't
but
those
that's
people.
Not, that's not what you guys
no, well, is it is part of what we do, because we own a lot of the platform, and they work on our platform. We partner very closely with the Excel team. We're constantly meeting with them to make sure that we're in alignment on a lot of stuff. They'll want to hear your feedback,
yeah.
and they'll want to know details about your scenarios.
This is, yeah, this is more even with the content side of it.
Absolutely.
Well, we would love to chat with
okay.
you more.
Yeah.
Come by later today, or if you can wait for us 5 minutes as we finish.
Okay.
I would love to know what you're doing. We do have things like embedding and like REST APIs that allow you to pull and put data into
that
Excel workbooks. And those are right now available. So
yes.
I would love to talk to you about those and see if they fulfill your scenario. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.